Blackness. A misty, dark scene emerges. A white horse gallops across the screen and develops wings. It flies and lands on top of a triangle, with TriStar in its center and pictures along its base. Blackness. An electric blue line traces a letter C on a black background. Carol Cole. A lush vista of pink and white poppies against a backdrop of palm trees and jungle-covered hills set beneath blue skies. Laos, Southeast Asia, 1969. A transport plane flies over the scene. Mario Casar, Andrew Vaina present a Daniel Melnick Indie Prod production, a Roger Spottiswoode film. Mel Gibson, Robert Downey Jr. Air America. The plane drops sacks of rice on a village of huts. A villager scatters chickens as he runs. The sacks fall like bombs. A sack crashes through a palm leaf covered roof of one of the huts and splits open. On board the transporter, a pig in a crate is pushed towards the door on a conveyor belt.
There are no American combat forces in Laos.
Two crates with a pig in each are dropped from the plane on parachutes. The crates land and smash open and the pigs run about the village.
At the present time, we are concerned by the North Vietnamese move into Laos.
A crate of grenades is pushed towards the plane door by an Oriental man in a uniform white shirt. Beneath a jungle canopy, soldiers in camouflaged uniforms wait beside an array of jeeps and covered military wagons.
There are 50,000 North Vietnamese there at the present time.
Crates of munitions are parachuted down. A soldier watches and makes his fingers into a gun as if shooting the plane. The soldiers run to collect the supplies. A guy in a tattered straw hat and carrying a rifle walks in a field. He looks up at the plane, takes aim, and fires a shot at it. The guy, who's Oriental and has a goatee beard, casually shoulders his rifle again and mooches along, chewing on grass. The plane heads off into the distance. A pilot in the transporter opens a window and looks out onto the starboard wing. An engine is smoking. A broadcast on a TV in a village bar.
As you know, the American participation in Laos is at the request of the neutralist government, which was set up in accordance with the 1962 accords, which were agreed to incidentally by Hanoi, Peking, and the Soviet Union. We have been providing logistical support and some training for the neutralist government in order to avoid Laos falling under communist domination. As far as American manpower in Laos is concerned, there are none there at the present time on a combat basis.
The transporter's engine explodes. Pilot Gene Ryak is in the bar and looks up in horror to the palm leaf roof. Wreckage crashes through the roof. Gene goes to pull a guy out from under it. The Laotian villager winces as Gene hauls him outside. Gene sprints down the dusty village street past ramshackle stalls and cattle-drawn carts to a corrugated iron hangar. He runs through it and out onto an airfield where transporter planes and helicopters are parked. Jean runs over to the burning wreckage of the transporter which has landed on the tarmac. A man lies sprawled behind a bank of flames.
No! It's too late. No chance.
Get back! Get back!
Yes, sir!
Let the trucks through! Take the floor! Get back!
Bitch. Jean?
Looking at the body behind the flames.
Is he dead?
Well, Rob, if he's not dead, he's very, very calm.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Gene, listen, hey,
Gene, we're not here right now.
Gene's in civvies.
Yeah, I saw Nixon on TV.
Yeah, so, if we're not actually here, then, of course, this didn't happen.
Well, maybe it didn't happen for you, and maybe it didn't happen for Nixon, but I think it happened for Doug.
We sure are going through pilots.
Hey, Gene, you will remember what I said.
Shh. Well, the problem is, Rob, since you and I aren't here, this conversation didn't happen, so I can't remember what the fuck you didn't tell me.
Damn it, Major, these pilots are such head cases.
Yeah, and the worst part of it is we need more of them.
A chopper painted in blue and white flies over wooded hills. Radio 1080 AM and KLCA is on the side of the chopper. The pilot, a handsome 20-something dark-haired guy, moves his head to the rhythm of the music as he flies over L.A. in sunshine. In huge letters on a hillside, the word Hollywood. He flies over networks of busy freeways and sings to the music.
Now let's go to our Eye in the Sky traffic reporter with our Eye in the Sky pilot, Billy Covington. Billy, how you doing up there?
Well, I gotta say, I think the music speaks for me, Stevie. All I want is just a be free. Live my life the way I want a be.
How's the traffic, Billy?
Well, earthbound traffic is kind of depressing, kind of sad. Real congested, kind of bumsy looking there, to tell you 100% there, Stevie.
Yeah, well, we understand that there's one whale of a traffic jam out there up on the 103, Billy.
Yeah, you got that right. You know why?
Yeah, that's why we go to you, Bill.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll tell you why. Because most normal drivers turn into complete pagan rubbernecks because they think they might be able to see a fatality, and that creates a gawker's block. Blocks things up for a couple miles back there. Kind of not unlike this complete moron here in the brown 18-wheeler from Rubio, moving and hauling.
Excuse me, Steve.
Hey! Move your truck. There's an ambulance trying to get to the site of an accident.
Hey! Fuck you!
I'm in the sky!
Fuck me!
Fuck
what?
You!
Nonsense! What did you say?
I said I can hear you!
Yeah? Man, you want a convertible?
Oh, come on out here,
I
you little fucking
so.
Punk! Come out here! I'll kick your whirly bird ass, you little airborne piece of shit!
All right, well, this is Rock 1080, and where else are you gonna get that kind of in-depth look at the L.A. traffic situation?
You should be arrested! This is very dangerous!
Billy gives the truck driver the finger and moves off in the chopper as the driver lashes out with an iron bar. There's carnage in the road from a crash. At home, Billy checks mail. His apartment is light and brightly painted. Spying one envelope, he lets all the others drop. He sits down on a couch and opens the envelope tensely. A license inside has suspended stamped on it. He beats the couch and stamps. In the street, a car pulls up beside him.
Hey, Billy.
Who are you?
Sorry to hear about your fall from grace. You're an adventurer without an adventure. I think it's wrong, really wrong.
Nothing lower than a grounded pilot. Who are you?
Let me ask you a question. Why did you fly down so low into that accident site?
Because there was an ambulance trying to get to the scene of an accident. All right, I'm tired of flying 1,000 feet above the action. I want to be down in it.
Just what I thought. Now, the same thing that got you fired off the radio can get you hired in Laos.
Because there's a war going on over there?
In Vietnam, not in Laos. You saw the president on TV.
Come on, I saw Heckle and Jekyll on TV. That doesn't mean that I believe that birds really talk. Come here, Brain.
Your point's well taken. But there is no war in Laos. You can take that to the bank.
Who'd be signing my checks?
Our outfit's called Air America. Strictly civilian, American pilots, men like yourself, wild men, if I may say so, Billy, flying cargo and refugees in the wild, wild east.
FAA pulled my ticket.
Get your new one out of Taiwan. No sweat. Who the hell are you, man? I'm your biggest fan.
A military transporter plane flies over jungle in sunshine. The plane is painted in hues of dark and light khaki. On board, Billy sits beside a window. He rubs his eyes and looks out of the window. They're coming into land at the airstrip Gene operates from. Billy, carrying his bags and a baseball bat, walks nonchalantly across the airstrip. In a meeting room with many windows, Rob plays the pilots, who are all in civvies, a reel-to-reel tape.
That's nice, Rob. What's that supposed to be?
That is the sound of the torment of war. You see, when the enemy hears those sounds coming from your planes, they're gonna be crazed. The North Vietnamese, they're pouring into Laos. They're heading into Saigon on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and they're hooking up with their little commie buddies. So, we blast them with this stuff, they panic, they scatter. Now, I admit, it's a dangerous mission.
Hey, but the point is worse than dangerous. All right, this is embarrassing, man. I mean, they're gonna point up at us and laugh at this shit.
Really? This tape was designed by experts for maximum psychological effect.
You got no idea who you're fighting here.
Oh, no, absolutely. You know more about it than American intelligence, Gene.
Rob, I wish you wouldn't use the words American intelligence to describe what it is that you do.
Rob Deal?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Billy Covington.
Oh, yeah, welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, you have some paperwork?
Yep.
Billy's one of you guys. Right. Yeah, thanks. So, talk to him.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
What brings you here, Cummings?
Well, I hear there's some good flying here, huh?
Good flying? That's a thought. It depends on where you're coming from, man. Where are you coming from?
I'm from L.A., from the west coast of the United States, man. Where are you coming from?
I'm coming from the dark side of the moon. And I'm going back there, too, soon.
Jack's taking Billy's baseball bat.
Golden BB is coming.
Bat back, please.
No. Nomenclature, BB, golden, coordinates, personnel, Neely.
And what about the four rounds you can't see between these three?
Pilot hijinks is their way of coping.
Pilot hijinks?
Yeah.
This is psychotic behavior, man.
Well, here at Air America, what's considered psychotic behavior anywhere else is just company policy. Gene Ryak.
Hi. Gene, how'd you feel about taking Billy on his orientation flight?
Sure, it's okay with me. If it's okay with you, is it okay with you?
Good.
Yeah, it's getting away.
Okay, just give him the bat.
This place is called Long Chien, right?
That's right.
See, I put us right about here, but the map doesn't show a town here.
Well, then I guess as old Rob says, we're not here. Which means you're not actually seeing the second biggest city in Laos. Built from scratch, incidentally, by the U.S. government. And we don't really run 400 flights a day out of here, or ship 100 tons of cargo, medicine, weapons, platoons of local troops like those guys over there. Anything, anywhere, anytime, that's our motto. Mainly we fly C-123s, Helio Couriers, Caribous, fairly normal machines, but the real fun is playing with these freaky little aircraft here. They're not even legal back in the States.
Yeah, well, this ain't the States.
Damn right.
Hey, what do you got today?
Peanut butter and mayo, salami, what do you got? Flight schedule. Better not be.
One of the little light aircrafts takes off. It flies over parched grass, then up towards jungle-covered slopes. Billy's the pilot. Gene and Bubba are with him.
You don't seem to be having much trouble with her.
Yeah. Well, I do all right up in the air. It's down on the ground that I tend to fuck up.
Hey, you mind if I look at your logbook?
Nah.
14 months of bush flying up in Canada.
Bush flying?
Yeah, bush buying.
2 months of crop dusting outside of Fresno.
Fresno, how far? What a fucking hero you are.
Flew traffic, Brian, in the sky. You flew a chopper.
Excuse me. Is that a newsie?
Hey, you know, that would make a great TV commercial, wouldn't it? Excuse me, is that a newsie? Well, yes, it is.
I can't believe this guy.
Self-defense is no laughing matter.
He says no warrant.
That's why when it comes to number one, I pack a newsie, except no substitutes.
Show him your amulet, Gene.
Look at that.
Yeah, what's in there?
To be honest, the ashes of my left big toe. Got it shot off right through the floor of the cockpit. Not far from here, as a matter of fact.
You get shot here?
Yeah, me and Babo had to crash land.
They shoot at you here?
Yeah.
Who takes the toe home, cremates it, puts in that little jar around his neck.
Wait a second. No one told me anything about losing toes. I remember the whole conversation. You never mentioned toe loss.
Who?
The recruiter. He never... Why didn't you get it sewn back on? They got doctors here.
Well, I could have, I suppose, but I figure once a piece of me gets shot off, I don't really want it back anymore.
Besides, it's still with us in spirit. Huh. You understand?
Yeah, in spirit. Toeism.
Opens a limo door for a man in a khaki uniform, General Lu Sun.
Morning. Glad you could make it, sir.
Sun joins the Major and Rob on the tarmac.
A United States Senator in my backyard on a goddamn fact-finding mission, no less.
He's not gonna find out any facts, I promise. He's certainly not gonna find out about our little deal. Besides, he's a dimwit. He had a tractor dealership before he got elected.
Hey, Harry Truman sold cheap suits in Missouri and he wound up dropping an atomic bomb, okay?
A goofy-looking Senator Davenport appears in the doorway of the plane. He faces the dignitaries waiting at the end of a red carpet. Having bowed to the air hostess attending him, he waves and steps down onto the red carpet.
Welcome to VNTN, Senator.
Thank you, Ambassador Barlow.
Senator Davenport, this is Major Lamont. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Oh, of course. Where's the uniform, Major? Too hot for all those ribbons and braids, huh? You, going civvy on us?
Well, I am civilian now, sir. But I kill Air Force at heart.
Soon bows to Davenport.
Thank you very much. Foot bag and big car.
Senator.
Oh, I know. Don't have local dinero. Give tip later, okay?
Senator, this is General Lu Sung, the supreme commander of our local allied forces.
Davenport's toothy grin fades.
Hello.
He taps his head.
Anybody home? Get a load of Senator Taft here.
When you go to France, you have General de Gaulle carry luggage?
Rob, get the senator's bag.
I'll just take that, sir. Which I can take your jacket.
Oh, thank you.
The light aircraft zooms low over jungle-covered rocky peaks.
All right, better lighten up on that stick. We're coming in for landing.
Landing? Where?
I guess I better show you.
Show me what? Landing where? Oh, come on! That's not a strip, that's a mountain!
Give me full flat, 3 cranks.
They head for a steep, narrow strip of soil. The plane lands bumpily and draws to a halt. Billy heaves a sigh.
Damn, that was great. How was it for you?
The propellers blow the dusty soil about. Billy and Jean remove their headsets. Barbo is out of the plane, putting the chocks under the wheels.
Yeah. Ah.
Jean joins Billy and Barbo, who are looking down a jungle-covered slope. Billy suddenly races for the Uzi.
There's people in the woods! Guys! Hey!
No, I know them.
Who are they?
Well, as a matter of fact, they're friends of my wife. The little one's my brother-in-law with a business proposition.
Don't do that.
Gentlemen?
The party escorts the Americans to a village of houses on stilts. A little girl climbs down steps from a house. Jean, Billy and Barbo walk through the village. 2 men lift a wooden box with rope handles. Jean's brother-in-law opens it and pulls back a paper. The box is full of weapons.
Okay.
Gene counts out notes. The brother-in-law grudgingly grabs the money.
Brother-in-laws are the same all over the world, huh?
He's leading me dry, but deal.
The plane takes off in a cloud of dust. It soars over the jungle canopy and banks right. The blue sky darkens.
This is supposed to be my initiation flight. You use it to run some private scam.
Welcome to the Orient. This is not a scam, it's a retirement plan. I've been flying 15 years and I haven't got a pot to piss in, and I want my chunk of the American dream, okay? Running guns.
Clouds enshroud the plane.
Okay, this is the hard part.
Yeah, I noticed. No radar.
That's right, just dead reckoning.
Babo gets out a kid's coloring book.
I can handle it.
Good.
Gene takes off his headset and safety harness. He pats Billy and moves to the back with Babo.
Hey, Gene, sit down. Check this out.
A tin of wax crayons.
That's pretty good, huh?
Gene inspects one of the crayons. Meanwhile, Billy sits at the controls as the plane bobs about but forges on through dark cloud. Billy's eyes widen when the cloud clears slightly.
Whoa!
They're heading for a mountainside. He veers away.
Hey! Woo! Okay, we almost hit that at 3,700 feet. Are there any higher peaks than that around here?
You see this?
At 3,700 feet. Are there any higher peaks than 3,700 feet around here?
They're coloring in.
Yeah!
I need a green.
Don't use mine, yes. Use yours.
Hey, give me that.
Listen, guys, we're gonna have to establish a new safety elevation.
Hey, I was going
for that old fashioned mist the mountain peaks all the way around.
I'll tell you the reason why, because the last time you colored the sky all black,
I
looked stupid.
Up there. You southeast of the landing, you're
good.
Look,
you don't even use it.
Where
you
go? No! Hey! Southeast of the landing!
Don't bother me when I'm coloring, all right?
Hey, look,
I'm gonna draw a line here.
Night. Pilots dance with girls outside a whorehouse which has tables on the pavement of a busy city street. Davenport's convoy pulls up with its military escort.
Hey, Senator, let us show you the real lounge!
Davenport gets out.
Sir, getting out.
Senator, wait a minute.
Senator,
the
pilots are drunk.
No, son, they're not just drunk. They're drunk Americans. Hey, fellas, pitching a little woo, are ya? Now, don't be embarrassed, fellas. I know I may look like an old stick in the mud, but back before I found the Lord, I partook of wine, women, and song on a number of concerts. But on a serious note, fellas, even though none of you will ever wear any shiny medals or be mentioned in the history books, there's a few of us back in Washington who know exactly what you're doing for the war effort.
That's great.
Yeah.
Could you explain it to us?
Rob steers Davenport away. Inside the club, Barbo dances with a girl and swigs beer. Other pilots watch girls dance. Gene's at a table with an Oriental woman. Billy's with Rob and a blonde woman.
It's just as heavy as Vietnam.
No. You never compare the two. Now, Vietnam is a war for niggers and no-necks. Excuse the language, it's the Mai Tai talking. But this is a gentleman's war, huh? This is a thinking man's war.
Hello.
Ah.
Corinne Landreau, this is Billy Covington. She does all sorts of noble humanitarian things for little Asian brothers up in the hills.
Thanks.
Honey, I kid because I care, okay? You know what the whole problem with the Vietnam War is, Billy? Huh? It's too public. See, a secret war is the way to go. No reporters,
no TV. You black out the war like a pro football game. And you know what? Do you know what? We can't lose.
Can I ask you one thing?
Yeah, sure.
Is it like a kinky turn-on for you to bring your girlfriend to a whorehouse with you?
This is not just a whorehouse, friend. This is a place where men talk business.
Business? I was just getting used to this being a war.
Excuse me.
Who told you they were two different things? Rob, I need you outside now. And I need you clear-headed, goddammit.
Rob tips his Mai Tai into a pot, rises, and glares at Billy.
Ha-ha.
A young guy in civvies guards a gate. He's armed. A dilapidated sign reads Pepsi-Cola.
Something on your mind, Rob?
I was just wondering what the Pepsi-Cola people would think if they knew what was happening here now that they're gone. But don't you ever wonder about that?
No, Rob, I don't. I wonder how many pilots already know about this place.
Inside, Soong samples white powder.
This stuff's good. Really good, Major. Do you want to try some?
With all due respect, General, I'm not here for a taste test, okay? I am here to ask you again, please. Let's shut this lab down for 1 week only, just while the Senator is here.
Why don't you just tell Baggage Man Senator to go home now? Kick out!
Well, I wish it was that easy, General. And in a civilized country like yours, it would be. But in this case, it's just easier to shut down this lab.
Then you and me be poor men and cannot pay for war. If we don't sell heroin, then no money to feed my soldiers. No, Major. Better you and me stay good friends. You take care of silly suitcase man. Yes?
Of course, General. As always, you are thinking more clearly than me.
Soong smiles. At the whorehouse, Jack drains his drink and deliberately drops his glass. He does it repeatedly. Jean grabs a chair and sits beside a sober-looking Billy.
Is there something wrong?
Just that I'm used to being the weirdest guy in the room, and all of a sudden I'm not even in the running.
Don't sell yourself short. You can be as weird as anyone here.
Sure, kid. All it takes is a little time.
I just feel like I'm on this roller coaster of bar girls and strange squiggly signs and weird vehicles and more bar girls and Mai Tais. What the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah, I ask myself that question all the time. Why am I here?
Why am I here?
Gene positions a golf ball.
Hey, our little taste of the States. You feel better?
Yeah, everything's back to normal now.
Good.
They're on a miniature golf course. Jack aims a pistol at a lizard. The bullet whips past Gene's face. He's undeterred. The second shot gets the lizard.
Nice silencer.
I am a very considerate person. If I want to go out all night on my miniature golf course and shoot lizards, well, no reason to keep the neighbors awake. You follow me?
Ha! You follow me, punk?
Yeah. At a distance.
You're all right.
Fucking punk.
Thanks. But Jack's the only man you ever met who built his own personal miniature golf course, huh?
Hey, I got a concept. What do you say you open this place up to the public and charge admission, Jack?
You guys can do that after I'm gone. I'm leaving it to y'all in my will.
Oh, no, save it, will you? No way, Jack's got a point here. I mean, come on, let's face it. You old-timers aren't in line for any government pension. I mean, each pilot has to work out his own retirement scam. Hey, Gino.
Yo.
How's your floating guns and ammo shop doing? You building up some inventory or what? Ain't you ever gonna sell?
Never make a move too soon, Nick.
I got a foolproof scam.
Oh,
yeah. I'm gonna take my money...
You're gonna wind up back in Coney Island flying a copper-toned banner over the beach and telling war stories in bars.
Nick Pirelli gives the victory sign, then the finger.
The golden BB is coming up to me now.
Jack shoots at Nick's rolling golf ball.
Why you do that?
Huh? What the fuck did you do?
Jack!
Nick goes for Jack, but they're separated.
Here, Nick!
Professionalism.
Two shots.
How often you guys go on a bender like this?
Bender?
Nah, this isn't a bender. This is just nighttime.
Day, an empty bottle lies on the ground. Billy and another pilot are crashed out in the sunshine. A chopper flies over the two of them. Gene looks down at them and calls out.
Move in! Wake Billy up! I gotta take him to work! Up and at him, Junior! Come on, get up, get up!
He shoves and pushes Billy, who's on a sun lounger, but Billy is dead to the world. Gene drops a rope down from the chopper. The rope's tied around Billy's chest. Other pilots come out to watch. The winch him up sign is given, and Gene laughs. A sleeping Billy's hauled up in his dressing gown. The rope holds him under his arms. Billy slowly comes to, high up in the air. Billy clings onto the rope and looks nervous as they fly over villages and then a town.
Come on, baby.
Good morning!
Stall holders look up and see Billy dangling. Billy waves to them. Other townspeople watch as Billy does acrobatics on the rope.
Hey, American!
Billy now smiles and looks relaxed. They fly over a temple where monks in saffron robes are washing their clothes outside. They look up at Billy. A line of monks carrying pots processes solemnly through the courtyard of the ornate temple as the chopper flies above. They stop and look up.
Come on, baby,
Billy makes the sign of the cross as if blessing them, then poses. A monk staring up looks baffled. The downdraft from the chopper blows the monk's robes. The chopper, with Billy now sitting in it with Gene, lands at Longchen Airfield. They get out as Rob speeds up in a blue right-hand drive Merc with the Major as his passenger. Rob takes a clipboard and gets out.
Gene.
Morning, Rob.
Morning. You pick up one Senator Davenport at the VIP lounge at the Vientiane Airport, and you take him up to the refugee camp at Bean Luc. Of course, you keep him completely zipped on the subject of his airbase, and if he's dying for a bit of local action, you just dazzle him with bullshit.
Well, we got nothing else to dazzle him with, and it is such dazzling bullshit, Rob. See you later.
Dean. Listen, don't fuck around with the Senator, okay?
I don't know what you mean, Major.
Keep things on a need-to-know basis.
Oh, you mean treat him like a mushroom, keep him in the dark and feed him on shit.
Gene walks over to a light aircraft where a monk swishes a bunch of sticks at the nose cone.
Hey, Gene, what's that guy doing to your plane, man?
He's purifying it. It's a Buddhist ritual.
He purifies Gene. Gene bows and puts something in the monk's bowl.
One of the most remarkable journeys I've ever made. Spectacular scenery. Extraordinary people. The adventure of a lifetime.
Yes! We're now officially in the Nile. Wow! So beautiful. It's pretty unspoiled, isn't it?
Joanna Lumley's Nile, Friday at 9 on ITV3.
ITV Movies, sponsored by 118118.
Gene!
Commander, secret air base around here.
Which secret air base would that be, sir?
Why do I get the feeling of being kept out of the loop?
What do I know? I'm only boy for carrying luggage bags.
Oh, now please, General, no pout about that. I apologize. If anything, I should be carrying your luggage. That's how much the United States government values your support.
I hear talk that maybe America stop war and leave Southeast Asia, not take any suitcase with them.
General, if things get too hairy for us politically, we do have to bug out. We'll bring you back to the States with us. We take care of our buddies.
You'll take care of shit.
I beg your pardon. We paid Marshal Key in Vietnam a very nice offer.
Marshal Key?
Yes, sir.
I know Marshal Key. He's small time. He wants to have liquor store in America when ending war. I'm not going from being warlord to be liquor store owner.
Why don't you tell the senator what you really want, General? Go ahead, don't be bashful.
Holiday Inn, Southern California, own and operate.
That might be difficult.
Well, you find all this amusing, do you?
I sure do. But hell, Senator, if you can't laugh at war, what's the use of fighting, huh?
You got a good point there.
The plane banks to port over verdant jungle. People walk through a field of pink and white poppies. A makeshift refugee village is set beside the field of poppies. Davenport, standing beneath an umbrella, watches as a man bangs a handheld gong and another shakes an oriental-style tambourine.
Excuse me, you want to tell me what that tin horn general's doing in my
Grim,
camp?
Have you met U.S. Senator Davenport?
Welcome, Senator. I'm Corinne Landreau of USAID. May I show you around?
The boss has picked a hell of a spot to put you, right in the heart of opium country.
My first choice was Kansas, but apparently it's unavailable. This is all mountains and poppy fields.
Yeah. Well, what do you figure you got here? 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, best, and then we fold up tents and leave.
Noble work. Miss Landreau, this is truly noble work.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator, I'll meet you back at the plane. I'll see you later, Corinne.
Thanks, Gene.
Soon with a gun.
Look at that little devil operate.
General Sun's come here to Shanghai all these men and boys for his private army.
Well, now, Shanghai's an ugly word.
Oh, well, how would you describe what he's doing?
Oh, well, I'd say he's showing a lot of charisma.
Charisma?
What you've got to remember, Ms. Landreau, is these people have different values than you and I. But the nice part is, we're all pulling together for the same cause.
The same cause. General Sung's only cause is General Sung. Don't you get it, Senator? The CIA flies drugs for him. In return, he loans us his troops, plus he's kicking money back into the
CIA. You know what? You've been working your little fanny off in this hot sun for a darn good cause, and God bless you for it. But you're starting to rain. I think you need a little air conditioning.
She smiles sweetly and shakes his hand.
Have a nice day, Senator. Thanks for coming.
In a restaurant...
You do me a great honor for coming to Nino's, Excellency.
Thank you, Nino.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nino bows and goes.
Now, frankly, gentlemen, I'm concerned. We're not children in Congress. Now, we know General Song...
Soon.
...is up to some kind of hanky-panky with opium and whatnot. Now, nobody's perfect, not even our allies. Seriously, when we hear rumors of Americans lining their own pockets with dope money, gentlemen, that endangers this entire war. Now, I want to know the truth.
I'm afraid we've been keeping the truth from you, sir. We have reason to suspect that our planes are being used to fly opium from the highlands down here to Vientiane, where it is processed into heroin.
Dear God. Why wasn't I told about this before?
Senator, we've made a grave mistake. We were trying to protect the good name of our pilots, sir.
You mean our pilots are involved in smuggling narcotics?
Not all of them, sir. Just a few rotten apples. They know we can't inspect every piece of cargo, and so they take advantage of our trust.
You know who they are?
We'll find out. I pledge to you, sir. We'll find those rotten apples.
Rob nods gravely. Choppers and planes take off from Long Cheng. Billy watches as squealing, struggling pigs are put into crates beside a transporter plane. The monk with the bunch of twigs purifies Jean, who puts his palms together and bows humbly, then utters a response. Just be a little brain surgery. I got the cure, my insecurity. Billy watches as Soong oversees the loading of the transporter plane.
Hey, General! What's the cargo?
None of your business.
Soong strides past Billy, ignoring him.
Nothing's in, your cargo's loaded. Here's your co-pilot. Enjoy the animals, fellas.
Billy's co-pilot is Jack.
What?
I got a bad feeling this morning.
Don't worry about it. We're not going to run into any golden BBs, okay? I'll be your good luck charm.
Right.
BBs, no bullets, no bombs.
The transporter takes off. Flies over jungle-covered slopes.
Rice drops coming up first, and the three little pigs. There's no designation on this last cargo.
The General Soong guy was supervising the unload. What kind of cargo would that be?
Jack touches his mouthpiece and motions to be quiet.
Come out to 12 o'clock. All right, first drop zone's coming up.
Stand by.
All right, coming up, Byron. Looking good.
Airspeed's good.
Altitude's good.
The Oriental guy in the belly of the transporter opens the mechanical doors and pushes a load of sacks towards them.
Three, two, one, now.
Jack flips a switch which gives a green light. Billy turns and watches the guy push the pallet of sacks to the door.
Gone.
Yeah, he just went out the back. What do we do? Did he ever shoot on?
No.
What do you mean he didn't have a shoot on? So what do we do? We're gonna go back for him?
No, you never go back. Never go back.
What? What do you mean you never go back? You just asked your kicker, man.
You never go back.
Don't you get it?
Keep
he just
steady.
Went out the back.
The kicker is hanging on by a wire beneath the plane. Jack suppresses a smile.
You meet someone and they die, you know.
The kicker climbs back in.
She wears shoes all the time.
Billy turns to see the guy is back on board.
Hey, come on! That's not funny, okay? That's not funny!
Jack takes a photo of Billy. Gene's flying a chopper and talks into his headset.
Hey, Billy, how's it going?
It's great.
Billy mouths an obscenity.
Now listen, Nino's serving up some lobster tonight, but you gotta order it in advance. You up for some of that, Jack?
Lobster again?
Yeah, if I'm still alive, I'd like some lobster.
Good. I'll radio on ahead and make some reservations. Have Nino chill a bottle of Macon Village at 9 o'clock okay for you guys?
Yeah, great.
Roger that.
Peachy. Hell of a war, man.
340. 12 o'clock. Coming up. Stand by.
The kicker pushes the crates of pigs along a conveyor belt.
Coming up on it. Three, two, one, now.
The pigs drift down on their parachutes. The pigs are shot at. Jack turns round to look out of the rear door, then shots start to rock the transporter.
Shit! Oh, Jesus Christ! Hey! Quit it!
Field guns fire up at them.
Jesus! Who the hell is shooting at us?
Over here, everybody shoots at us.
All right, I'm not going
and die drop pics from the sky. That's not gonna happen.
The Golden BB.
I knew it. I knew it.
Just a question of when.
The Golden BB. I knew you were coming for me, you son of a bitch.
I told you.
I saw it in the mirror this morning when I got myself shaven, bright as the sun. Coming right at me.
An engine's hit.
We're hit number two. Jack, we're hit number two. Pull the extinguishers.
There goes an engine, of course.
Jack sits doing nothing. Smoke pours from the damaged engine.
Hey, wait, Jack, man. Take the oil pressure.
Oil pressure.
Oil pressure.
Oil pressure. Oil pressure.
Okay, check number one.
Number one's okay.
Hey, it's 9:30, okay, Ninos. He said he can't get us a table.
Jeep, we're hit. We're badly hit. We're throwing fuel. We're going down.
Are you still in gun range?
Yes.
We'll change your altitude and heading every few seconds. Jack, give me a location.
Jack stares at his map.
Jack, got a minute? Location, help him out. Stop snoozing.
2 miles south of Tango 7.
There's an old Jap airstrip just the other side of Tango 7. Can you make it?
Got it.
Come on, man. You can make it.
Gee! I'll make it.
Come right 10 degrees.
Welcome back. Where you been?
Did I leave?
Jack blinks as if coming out of a trance.
Wild dog to base, wild dog to base. Pilots in jeopardy over near Tango 7. Am heading over there now.
Maintain course, wild dog. We'll send a recon plane. Base to wild dog, do you copy?
Wild dog to base, fuck off.
Gene flies past a rugged cliff face.
Okay, where are we at?
See it? Got it! Right there! 1 o'clock!
Okay, I got it. Get the landing gear down, let's go.
Coming down.
What?
It's not going down!
Don't worry about it. Go to manual.
Got it.
What do we got? Nothing so far! Okay, forget it. We're gonna jump. Quan, bring your chute on!
Quan, the kicker, obeys. Jack carries on winding.
You too, Neely. Neely, let it go. Put on your parachute, man. Come on.
I'm riding in with you.
No, you're not. You're going to listen to what I say. Put on your parachute. I want you on.
Jack obeys.
Come on. When I level out, you're going to jump, okay?
I'm taking in with you.
No, you're not.
The only thing got intended to drop from the sky is bird shit.
Yeah, no. You and bird shit, okay? Bird shit and you. That's a new amendment. Bird shit and catatonic pilots. Jump!
Quan goes to the door and jumps. Billy watches him until his parachute opens.
Okay, he's out. You're next.
They say you're most vulnerable when you're floating down in a parachute. Just my luck, I'll get a golden BB right up my ass. Jump with it. If it doesn't open, use your reserve.
Okay,
I don't have a reserve.
Get up! Get up, man, please! See you down there. Good luck.
Jack makes for the transporter's rear door, then reappears.
I have never, ever, ever had a jump out of an airplane before!
Jack departs again.
Fucking dead mother!
Jack, a beefy, manic-looking guy, shuffles along towards the wide rear doorway.
Jack, can you run, man? Let's go!
Jack gets to the edge, then turns away from it. His eyes fixed ahead and shuffling purposefully, he goes back to Billy in the cockpit.
What the fuck are you doing back there?
I forgot my Nikon!
Yeah, here it is! You want it?
Yes.
You're supposed to be doing it! You're gonna have to blame
yes.
It! Good.
You put on your parachute!
I'm afraid of heights!
Jack heads off once more towards the door. His eyes are wide and staring. Below them is a dusty, abandoned airstrip with a watchtower beside it.
Okay! Jack! Jump! Bye now!
Jack jumps and his parachute opens. Smoke billows from the plane's damaged engine. Jack lands by the watchtower. The lumbering transporter is dropping rapidly towards the dusty airstrip. Billy's eyes are wide and tense. The plane is only feet from the ground. Billy grabs a control. The plane belly flops. Billy rocks about and the mighty transporter plows on along the ground, gouging out the earth and kicking up a cloud of dust. Billy pulls back on the wheel. He's careering towards two cows. He's missed the cows. The starboard second engine explodes into flames, then the others. Part of the starboard wing drops off as the plane slides towards a pile of oil drums. The portside wing hits the drums, which explode in a mass of orange flame and black smoke. Billy exhales and shakes his head. What's left of the plane waltzes a little. Billy pulls frantically on the wheel, then bangs it and gives up. The plane reaches the watchtower. The plane's tail hits the tower sideways on. In the ensuing explosion, the tower collapses and the plane's tail is blown off. Billy closes his eyes as the plane spins, then continues its erratic journey. It plows into tall, rubbery tropical plants at the side of the runway. The two cows watch the plane stop. Billy's leaning forward with his head resting on his hand. He looks up a little blearily, removes his headset, and heaves a sigh.
Come in, Billy. Billy, come in. Give me voice, please.
Jean flies by a rock face dotted with outcrops of vegetation. Jack, Billy and Qua are beside the remains of their plane.
Hey, Neely, are you satisfied or disappointed that we're still alive?
Hey, the jungle is full of communist soldiers and bandits and tribes of fucking headhunters, okay? We're not alive yet.
Okay. Want a piece of juicy fruit?
No, I do not want a piece of juicy fruit. Yes, I'm sure.
Okay. We're going home.
Soon, Qua.
No, we're going home now. Look. Look. We're going home.
They run to meet a light aircraft which lands nearby. Woo! Jack waves his hat. His smile fades as the aircraft nears and shows it has bared teeth painted on the nose cone. The plane passes them.
Hey!
Billy chases the plane, which stops. Soong and a posse of his men get out. They start to take sacks of cargo from the wrecked plane to Soong's plane.
Woo! Good afternoon! Yep? Hi there, General. Woo! Yeah, I guess you missed us back there, huh? Sure is nice to see some friendlies around here. I'll tell you, man. Got a couple dings on it. Sure hope they don't take it out of my paycheck, you know? Yeah, not that a couple days in the shop won't fix, I guess. Let me give you a hand here.
Soong's too busy watching the cargo being transferred. Billy goes to help. Jack and Kwan watch.
Guess you're in a hurry, huh? Wouldn't want to stick around here too long, huh? God, these are heavy. It's gonna be a tight squeeze, huh? Hey, man. Come on, guys. Hey, what about us? Hey! Hey! Hey, you! Hey! You aren't taking us?
Let it go, Billy.
God damn it!
Go home now.
Opium, go home now.
What? There was opium on that?
You said it. Opium.
And he took his opium instead of us?
You helped him load it, pal.
A light aircraft flies beside the chopper Gene's piloting.
Because when we get to the strip, you go north and I'll search this side. We'll find them. And if we hurry, we can still make that 9:30 table at Nino's.
Sounds good, Gene. We'll see you there.
Jack, Quan, and Billy are beside the wreckage.
Come on, where is everybody?
Billy paces at the rear.
Quit it, okay? Huh.
They walk away from the smoking wreckage as Gene's chopper and the light aircraft approach. Gene's eyes search the jungle below.
There's a little trouble off your right wing down there in the jungle, boys. We got the other team moving in on our buddies. Crawling with black pajamas.
Jack smokes a cigarette and beams as he and the others look up at their rescuers. The enemy suddenly appear out of the undergrowth. Jack and Quan run. Billy holds up his hands, then runs. Jack, Quan, and Billy sprint towards the landing strip where the light aircraft lands. Billy's trailing a little.
Billy, move!
Gene moves in with his chopper, creating a dust cloud as the threesome race towards the light aircraft. Jack and Quan climb on board the light aircraft. Billy slides the chopper door back and gets in.
I'm quitting!
He lies down on the floor of the chopper as bullets pepper its side. The chopper and the aircraft take off.
Got any extra holes in you?
No.
Wild Dog to base. Wild Dog to base. Unfriendlies near Tango 7.
Unfriendly.
Unfriendlies? Everyone's unfriendly here. Even the friendlies are unfriendly. Why is everyone so unfriendly?
Well, they haven't gotten to know us yet.
Why are they shooting at us?
Because they're unfriendly.
Billy's now up front with Gene.
You're losing oil pressure in the gearbox.
That's nothing. I lost tail rotor in spots. Put your belt on.
The chopper tilts unsteadily as it flies.
I don't want to crash twice in one day.
Don't worry. I crash better than anyone I know.
Oh, Gene, you're 40.
Yep.
You're redlining.
Yep.
Gene, watch your controls. You're redlining.
Yep.
The chopper careers towards jungle. The chopper hits a tree and hangs in the branches. They're sitting upside down.
Hell of a rescue, huh?
I thought you had this helicopter blessed this morning.
I did. I had a feeling the monk wasn't concentrating that well. There's no two ways about it, you know. We gotta drop.
No, man.
Yeah, we gotta drop with sniper bait.
Well, what's the procedure? Who goes first?
Well, there's not really any hard and fast rules about crashing straight through a cockpit. Why don't you go first?
No, I don't want to go first.
Okay, I'll go first.
No, I don't want to go second.
All right.
Okay, we'll toss a coin.
Call.
Tails.
Is that heads? Tails.
What is that? Tails.
It's heads, isn't it?
That's tails.
I'll go and look, okay?
Gene lies on his back, looking up.
Come on. Pretty soft.
I hate going second.
All seemed to go pretty well, all things considered.
Gene struggles up, holding his back. Billy struggles up.
We should get moving.
Okay.
Can you walk?
Walk.
Yeah.
What do you mean walk? I'm in the goddamn jungle.
Bullets hit the chopper and it crashes to the jungle floor. Gene and Billy sprint away through the dense jungle. The shadow of a chopper on the jungle canopy. Jack is piloting it.
Give me voice. Gene, Billy, give me voice. Gene, Billy, it's Jack, come in. Come on, guys, let me hear from you. Over.
Nick pilots a light aircraft which is searching. His co-pilot scans the jungle below, then shakes his head at Nick.
Where are you? Over.
Another light aircraft joins the search. A pink, misty dusk is falling over the vast expanse of jungle. A plane is silhouetted against the red-gold blaze of a setting sun. Night.
You know, I swiped some things when I was a kid. You know, wiffle balls, model airplanes, stuff like that. Now, I've used a fake ID to drink underage, I've smoked a little reefer, I've performed oral sex in states where it's against the law. But until I work for my own government, I never, ever smuggled dope.
Hey, we're not smugglers, we're just pack mules. Look, no one's ever won a war in this part of the world without they control the opium trade. Now, we just helped General Sung get his local crop to market, and he helps us fight the war. It's as simple as that.
Don't give me that cooled-out Buddhist cowboy shit! Our government's running a war with drug money, and over there across the border in Vietnam, our GIs are getting strung out on this stuff. You know, you might as well be dropping rattlesnakes in a schoolyard, man! You tell me that it doesn't bother you in your soul?
Hey, leave my soul out of this, will you? Anyway, we don't officially work for the U.S. government, remember?
Well, everybody knows who's running the show here. What's a big secret? What happens if you say CIA? Does the whole sky fall in?
A huge fiery explosion makes Gene check his compass.
Let's change our course. With some luck, we'll be out of here by the morning.
How many more miles?
It felt good to be out of the rain.
Performers at Nino's.
You can't remember your name, cause there ain't no one for to give and obey. La, la,
now look. When that sales rep from Bell Helicopter gets here tomorrow, don't slobber all over him right from the get-go the way he did that asshole from Dow Chemicals. Nice and easy. You bring him here, vintage wine, blah, 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 elegant dining, get him blown at the White Rose, then at the end of the night, brandy, espresso, then you hit him up for the two free choppers.
Now, I'm a little nervous about it. I mean,
buenas tardes, senor. I hear about the pilot shooting down. I hope they're safe. I pray for them.
Thank you, Nino. Every little prayer helps.
Give you no pain. La, 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 la.
I have to have coffee with Davenport. What should I do? Vamp for a little more time? I tell you what I'll do. I'll do what you say. I'll take him to the White Rose. I'll get him blown.
No!
No, what?
Davenport runs the Senate prayer group. With a guy like that, you don't bring up the subject of blowjobs. You wait for him to bring it up.
Soong's limo with a military escort pulls up at Nino's. Armed soldiers enter along with Soong.
Jesus, again.
That's the wrong close! Help! Fire Nation! All go home now! All finished! Everybody go now! Free dinner! Nobody! Hey! Hey! I do business with some guys all my life! What are you doing? For sure, no Corsican fuck me! Crazy! I picked up stuff from crash plane in bad danger! You men in Vientiane don't want to pay same as last time!
No more breakings, General. You understand? Now I tell you something. I talk to Marseille. I talk to New York. They say opium not so good this year. They say heroin been cut with baking powder. So who fucking who, eh, General? No, no. I'm not gonna pay you same, you give me shit!
Nino! You listen to me, okay? Nino, you pay same, or you will never use any of my airplanes again. Okay?
Okay.
same.
Day. Gene and Billy make their way through the jungle in dappled sunlight. They arrive at a waterfall. Both men climb onto rocks in shallows. They crouch. Gene splashes water over his head, then onto his face. Billy washes his face. Gene scoops water over his shoulders and is about to take a drink when he feels a bare foot beside him. He slowly looks up to see a man wearing a turban and aiming a gun at him.
Look in!
So this is the face of modern communism?
Wrong again. A devout communist carries an AK-47, and these guys have got the oldest weapons known to man. Look at them. Now, these are hillbillies, kind of like Kentucky moonshiners. And they're pissed about something. They don't cotton to outsiders, I guess.
At the hillbilly settlement, Billy kneels in mud, Gene's sitting in it, as an armed man guards them.
How's the conversation coming?
Well, I'm surprised they haven't knocked us off yet.
Surprised, huh?
Yeah.
How come you're so relaxed, man? Maybe you don't get this, but when you die, that's it, all right? It's over. End of story. Blackness.
Yeah. They stick you in a box, cover you up with dirt, and don't even let you out of it for weekends. It's really depressing.
Right. Nothing.
Buddha says
that stop with the Buddha thing, all right? I just don't believe that a true Buddhist would be in the gun-running business, okay? You're a hustler, man. All right, you covered up a little jasmine incense. You call it Eastern religion, but you're a hustler.
I didn't say I was a good Buddhist.
Everyone is outside and soaked.
They're gonna do it.
Gene stands up.
No need to speed things up.
Look, those guns are all wrong for rainy conditions. What you need is some good all-weather weapons.
A hillbilly aiming a gun at him looks uncertain and resists a colleague urging him to shoot.
My child, what do it, huh? Too close, man.
Can you believe it? This guy swapped a cow for this gun. Don't you find that hysterical?
The guy pulls his trigger.
My point exactly. Tanai Dongan Boon Tidi Jing Shing Rakatu Glago Bai Ha Pikai Bom Timu Bantang Nun. Dungan Kia Song Wan Eng. What do you say? Gentlemen, these guns are cherry.
Billy gives an encouraging thumbs up to the hillbillies. The gunman, his brow furrowed, looks curious.
Hello, Mailing.
Hello.
Jean.
Somebody mind?
I miss you.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
They're on a veranda.
Lulu.
Hey.
A little girl and boy run out to hug him. He carries the kids.
Billy, Mei Ling, my wife. Come on into civilization and get cleaned up.
Later, Billy stands on another veranda at the house, looking down at a river.
You don't look like the kind of guy who'd live in a place like this.
No. Oh, never look at looks. Looks will fool you every time.
What the fuck are you doing here, man? Do you believe in this war?
You know, I used to believe in all these wars. See, I had this theory once. I believed in the politics of Saturday night.
Yeah.
I rated all governments and countries by how good or bad their Saturday nights were, and I knew that Moscow and Peking had to be a stone drag at that time of the week. So I was flying for a cause. I was fighting to defend chicken barbecues and weenie roasts and Ray Charles songs and drinking Southern Comfort till you pass out behind the bar.
Politics of Saturday night. I can relate to that theory.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? just not particularly true, that's all. I hear they party pretty hard in Moscow.
No need to give up a good theory just because it isn't true.
Billy goes to lean on the veranda rail and looks down. Jean gets up. There's a cockatoo on a perch behind him, and leafy plants are dotted about the spacious area. He joins Billy, leaning on the rail.
So why don't you go home? Look at me, look at Neely, the rest of us, we're all a bunch of trouble junkies. We've been mainlining danger and adrenaline for so long and nothing else gets us off. It's kind of sick. Quick, before you pick up the habit, and you will, you'll pick up the habit. You'll get to like it. Go back to L.A. and be the weirdest guy in the room again. What do you think?
Just gonna take care of a couple of things first.
You wanna get even? You wanna get even? With who, Rob, General Sung? Hey, forget it, will you? This is the Orient. Now, what Sung did to you was nothing. Nothing. I've seen things here that I could never possibly have imagined. And I'm a guy with a pretty broad imagination. Why don't you just go home?
Golden statues of Buddha in a temple.
What we have here, Senator, is one of the most famous temples in Laos.
Gentlemen, I've been here 4 days. I've seen 19 Buddhas, 3 tailor shops, silk factory, but you haven't told me one new thing about the dope trade. Now, I'm leaving soon, and I'm not going back empty-handed.
I better go back to D.C. with a couple of heads on the platter. Otherwise, the rumors alone will kill you on the hill.
Rumors? Who are you hearing rumors from, sir?
You heard the man, Rob. Heads on a platter.
Rob taps a book he's holding. A battered small military light aircraft is lowered onto the tarmac at Longchen Airfield by a chopper. An unidentified person is lifted off another chopper and carried away on a stretcher. There's a camera on top of the person who's covered up. Rob dangles a huge condom at the pilots in their meeting room.
That looks like Paul Bunyan's condom.
That is the whole point of airdropping them, Pirelli. Penis size is very important to Asian people. So, we can convince them that Americans use this jumbo size, then their men will start to fear us.
Okay? Okay. You're excused, then. Guys, one more thing, guys.
The body of Jack Neely was recovered last night by Allied soldiers on patrol. Apparently, he was shot down by Pathet Lao soldiers while on rescue recon for Covington Ryak. I understand how you guys must feel, but in the interest of base security, I have to remind you to be absolutely quiet about this.
Rob!
Before you tell us to keep quiet again, could we please have a moment of silence?
The entire team of pilots stands staring ahead sadly. Jean lowers his head and heaves a sigh. In a village, Jean and Davenport watch two men hollow out a large piece of wood.
Visit colorful native village. That's what my schedule reads, Jean.
But we've been here nearly 6 hours. I think we can safely say I visited it.
I'm sorry, Senator. They're nearly finished.
Oh, what is that thing, Jean? A boat?
Sort of.
Jean! You strange man.
Thank you for noticing, General.
You love old ways, Asian ways. But General Sung love tomorrow ways, modern world. Yes.
Sung lies down on the ground.
I think our friend here is a little tipsy.
He's high on America, too. I've seen it before. That's it. Stronger high than whiskey. It's a bigger high than opium. Our friend is stoned on dreams of the USA.
Gene, a moment ago you mentioned opium. So now tell me, and just let the chips fall where they may. Is it true Jack Neely was flying dope when he went down?
Gene meets Davenport's wide-eyed gaze uneasily, then turns to the men hollowing out the wood.
Let's take us back to the plane, gentlemen.
You taking that kayak with you?
It's not a kayak, Senator. This is Jack Neely's coffin. I promised him I'd make sure they didn't send him home back to Texas in a body bag. And no, he wasn't flying dope. General, wake up!
The pilots are gathered at the whorehouse.
Hey, I'm here to drink to Jack Neely. Is anybody going to join me?
Here you go.
Jack. Jack. You didn't want it any other way. You've been real pissed to die in bed.
They drain their drinks and drop their glasses. Gene smiles wistfully to himself.
I'm leaving, guys. Send Mailing and the kids on ahead. I'm going to join up with them.
What the fuck are you talking about? Where are you going to go?
I got a buyer for all my guns. I'm going to go around, pick up all my stashes, and get rid of them in one hit.
What are you going to do then, Gene? Are you going to go become some kind of fucking gentleman farmer in Thailand?
Yeah. What about the rest of us, Gene? What are we supposed to do? Go back to Dry Cross, South Dakota, and sell aluminum siding?
Really?
Yeah. Ah, shit. They're going to shut this war down anyway. There'll be another new war opening soon at a theater near you. You can bank on it.
So promise?
Right on. I promise.
I heard that.
Gentlemen, I just spent the day with the senator, and the spooks are looking for some fall guys, so be careful. Huh? See you tomorrow.
Davenport's being entertained by girls with Robin the Major.
Hey.
Hi.
Gene sits with Billy.
Where you been? Ram?
Yeah?
Oh, we did some shopping on the black market. Got some grenades. Now I'm gonna go have some fun.
Fun?
Yeah, I'm gonna have some big fun. Serious fun. Lots of noise.
Hey, this doesn't sound like well-planned fun.
No. Like I said, down on the ground's where I tend to fuck up.
I wouldn't do this if I was you.
Yeah, I know. Then you wouldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. See you later. Pepsi time.
Billy squeezes Gene's shoulders and leaves. Outside in the night, Billy goes to a street vendor.
Can I have a soda?
Sure, cop.
The Pepsi Cola heroin lab is opposite. A man's silhouette creeps past windows at the Pepsi Cola factory. It's Billy, who removes a board from a broken window and clambers into the lab. Two guys in a room are watching TV. Billy creeps past them. The guys continue watching TV while Billy slowly makes his way to a bench in the lab where there are bottles of liquid and distillation equipment. Billy glances over at the guys who sit with their backs to him. Billy takes out three grenades and places them gently on the bench beside the distillation equipment. He takes tape from his shirt pocket and binds the grenades together with it. He tears off the tape with his teeth, then takes a tripod stand and carefully places the grenades on it. Billy is breathing heavily. He slowly eases the pin out of a grenade, then takes out matches and lights a Bunsen burner. He puts the lit burner close to the tripod stand, then grabs a large petrol can and puts that on a bench. In his haste to escape, he bangs into a rack of bottles, alerting the guys. Billy runs away from the exploding factory. Soon in the wreckage.
I know who's doing this. That fucking new kid doing this. The guards saw him running away.
Word on the street, Major, is it's communist sabotage.
Gentlemen. Right now, I don't give a rat's ass who tried to blow this place up. The point is, this whole operation is about to blow up in our faces right when the senator is here. We need to give Davenport a head on a platter. Right now.
The major glances at Rob, who's moving bags of drugs.
General, if I might beg your indulgence, could I have the use of 2 kilos?
Rob hands him two bags. The Major eyes him firmly.
These 2 kilos are for the cause.
Yes, sir.
Rob looks uncertain. Day, Billy dances over to Gene on the airfield.
Right, Charlie, C-123 just for me. Personal use here.
That's a hell of a big plane for personal use.
Exactly.
Guess you got a buyer for all your weapons, huh?
Oh, nail on head, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Good. What are you taking today?
Taking flour sacks over to Bientong in the Porter.
Right.
That's right near Tango 7. Planning on crashing any more airplanes on the runway today?
Not today.
Nope. That's good. You already cost this company enough as it is. Thanks, Charlie.
Sure.
I don't know quite what you're talking about. What does that mean?
They walk across the airstrip together.
Feel better now?
So much better.
Yeah, there was a cloud of opium smoke over the town last night. Got everybody stoned. And they actually shut that plant down for 3 whole hours. Didn't start again till early this morning. That's the way it is.
Gene slaps him on the shoulder and goes to his plane where he talks to the monk.
Yeah. You want some clank, lad?
Okay, Gene.
Okay.
Gene puts his palms together and bows.
Grab.
No more.
Barbo's loading.
How are you doing, Michelle?
Okay. All set.
Barbo studies his list as he gets into the plane.
Bientong, huh?
Billy takes off into sunshine in a little blue and white light aircraft with Barbo sitting behind him in the hold. Gene takes off in his vast transporter. Armed soldiers walk through tall grass. Military trucks grind through the cluttered network of huts and stalls that form the refugee camp. Sung is there and calls out to someone in a truck.
Go! Pull the truck out! Quick!
Karen strides rapidly through a sea of people.
Keep moving, Audrey. Come on.
Get going. Hurry up.
Hey.
Wait a minute.
Hey. Calm down. You'll get your opium fields. Now we're going to need a few more hours to move them out of here.
Get them out.
She helps refugees onto a truck. Billy flies over jungle.
Base to Stagger Lee, come in.
Stagger Lee to base. Over.
Slight change in your flight plan, Stagger Lee. Hold off on the drop. We want you to take her down to LS-18 for a routine inspection.
Routine inspection?
That's affirmative, Stagger Lee. We don't make them up, we just read them.
Check, heading towards LS-18.
Billy gets out a map.
Hey, Baba, I'm going over to LS-18 for routine inspection.
Routine inspection?
Yep, never heard of it.
Then it ain't routine.
Billy looks pensive.
Baba, check the cargo.
What's that?
I don't know. Something's up. Check the cargo, will you?
Baba checks the sacks in the hold. There are puffs of flowery powder when he moves them. Davenport, Rob, and the Major walk in a field where Soong's armed soldiers are gathered by 2 helicopters.
Well, I hope to God our information is wrong, Senator. It would break my heart if we found heroin on that plane.
On the other hand, sir, the pilot is a young man from California.
Oh, I see. Caught up in all that doggone youth culture bit, huh?
Boy,
all those years of rock and roll. Still in all, he is only one young man. How come we need all these fellas helping out?
Well, pilots are tough men, Senator. This one might resist with force. If our information is correct, he is a cool and ruthless customer.
Billy breathes heavily and looks edgy. Barbo does a cursory check of the sacks.
Hey, Billy, I got nothing back here. Listen, man, we're being set up, okay? Keep looking.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Cut him open.
Barbo splits a flour sack with his knife.
What do you got?
Nothing.
Barbo's covered in flour. He opens another sack. The Major's eyes narrow as he hears a plane approaching. He turns and looks up, as does Davenport.
Come on, hurry up!
Barbo pulls a bag out of flour.
Got it! Car! God, I knew it! Look at those bastards down there just waiting for us.
They want us busted.
Dead and busted.
The fuel needle wavers on full.
Oh, no.
Somebody mess with that fuel gauge because we're running out.
Forget this. I'm going to go for that abandoned airstrip over by Tango 7.
Wait a minute, Billy. If they're waiting for us down here, they can follow us to Tango 7.
Well, we'll figure something out.
No, no, just don't say we, man, because I'm 42 years old and I never figured out anything in my whole fucking life.
The welcome party watch the plane descend towards them. Then it takes off again.
Not landing, Rob.
Got to, sir. He's only got enough fuel.
Start him up. Let's go after him.
Barbo climbs into the co-pilot's seat beside Billy. The plane's now flying low over the jungle canopy.
We're BSF, man! We're BSF!
What?
Very severely fucked!
They clip the top of a tree, then head over a valley. Soong's choppers take off. Billy flies just above the jungle, passing over the wreckage of the plane he crashed.
Good flying, Covington. Ever do any valet parking?
It's embedded in the tropical plants at the end of the abandoned airstrip.
Looks like we're gonna make it. What the hell are we gonna do once we get on the ground, huh?
I'm working on it!
Soong's helicopters travel over jungle. Billy makes the approach to the airstrip.
Come on! Come on!
He's now lined up with the strip. He lands. The plane plows up dust as it travels, but doesn't slow.
You're going pretty fast, Covington! Hold on! Hold on!
Billy's entered the carcass of his wrecked plane.
See, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, it just came to me.
Oh, I'm gonna buy you some beers.
Ow.
Soong's helicopters are still over jungle. Babu tries his headset.
That was a week, man. Last
Gene. Week. Come in, Gene.
Come to the jala samai.
Oh, look at the common eye. It's human fan samai.
Bullshit. Excuse me for a minute.
Gene, this is Babo. Gene, come in.
Yeah, this is Gene White. What do you want? He what? He did it again.
Son of a bitch, can't he keep the thing in the air?
Well, I'll think about it. Rare, rare, nai. Come on, bum dong ribai. Come on, rare, rare, kel. No, no more money.
Speak English.
No.
Barbo, who's holding a pistol, creep to the open end of the transporter that they and their light aircraft are hidden in. Billy hurriedly moves part of a wing of the light aircraft which is in view, then crouches down. Davenport peers down at the wreckage from a chopper. Billy presses up against the inner belly of the transporter as the choppers hover over it. The choppers move on up the airstrip, tracing the route the plane took, passing the wrecked watchtower surrounded by parts of the transporter. Barbo stands with his gun poised as he and Billy stare up at the choppers, which head off.
Where did he go, Rob? I don't know!
Senator, I'm afraid we've lost him. Well, maybe my trip hasn't been a complete loss. Maybe I found those rotten apples after all.
Beg your pardon, sir?
You know, I may wear short pants in the jungle, say things like gosh darn and deep doo-doo, but I sure know a frame-up when I see one. Unless my eyes deceive me.
Oh, they probably do.
Now look here, pal. I know you were a highly decorated soldier.
Senator, kiss my highly decorated ass. I've been trying to make it easy for you, but there's just no way to please you people. I tell you what, you go back to Washington, you take a cab from the airport right straight to the White House, and you just pour your heart out about what you think you saw over here. And then you stand back and watch the slow, painful death of your political career. You can't touch me without cutting your own throat. You know why? Because the president loves my ass. You really are second level, Rob. We go home now.
Gene studies a map as he flies his transporter. He then puts the map down, adjusts the joystick, and the plane veers to port. Billy and Barbo are crouching outside the wreckage as Gene comes into land. Gene scans about as he travels down the airstrip and comes to a halt at the wreckage. Billy and Barbo run out.
Hey! Glad you can make it.
Where's your bus?
Long story.
Gene points his thumb towards the hold to motion them on board. The transporter takes off again. A slightly cut and bruised Billy and Barbo sit up front with Gene.
Oh, it's my last stop, boys. One more pickup, then I offload. Home free. It's gravy from there on in. Hey, I had a map around here someplace, and the stops were marked in crayon. Seen it?
Yeah, here it is.
Oh. Navigate to the sky blue, please.
A convoy of military wagons.
Oh, did you check all the friendlies down there?
Oh, yeah, that's Sung's troops. I've been listening to them all morning. They're marching in to take over the poppy fields. Shit and kittens, because I think someone else is going to get there first.
Right by that refugee camp, too.
Yeah, that's where the poppies are.
Billy looks grave. At the camp, refugees run about in panic to get on trucks. A Red Cross chopper waits on the ground. Shells explode around the camp. A guy runs up to Corinne and puts his arm about her shoulders as they walk.
Corinne, there's no more trucks! There's no more chopper!
He gets onto a chopper with other workers. Corinne runs across the camp and climbs wooden steps to a makeshift radio tower. She goes to switch on a radio transmitter. Gene listens.
Mayday! Mayday, this is Scout Camp 1! Scout Camp 1, request assistance! Mayday, we're under heavy mortar fire, do you read?
Gene hears Nick Pirelli.
This is Pirelli, we're 15 minutes away. Is anyone closer? We're gonna head in if nobody is closer. Call us, please. Anyone nearby?
Mayday, Mayday, we're after all aircraft! Heavy mortar fire at Scout Camp 1! Do you read? All aircraft!
Saunders and Pirelli are nearly as close as we are. They can get her.
Yeah, we're only about 5 minutes closer. 5 minutes in motion. Seriously, I listen.
Shut up, will you?
What?
Look, I planned this day for a long time. I got it all worked out.
What you saying? I'm just agreeing.
I haven't got time to pick up lost social workers in the jungle, okay?
Hey, man, she chose to be there, and that's the way it is.
That's
I'm
it.
Not saying
that's
you
it.
Have to take
I've
care of
I got my Boy Scout shit today when I picked you two guys up.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
Well, I appreciate it.
Look, she knew what she was doing when she got out. God damn it! 5 minutes isn't gonna kill us. Skinny, we can fit her in the back with the machine guns. Give me a heading, will you?
160. Are you sure? I mean, it's a tight squeeze.
Look, shut up! And keep your hands off the wheel. We knows what happens when you fly.
We haven't heard. Is anybody gonna go in? Please, come in.
Sorry, Pearly. I was in a phone booth changing clothes. We'll get her.
Troops crouching down in poppy fields fire mortars. soon gives the order for a soldier to fire a bazooka. The transporter travels through huge pools of smoke from explosions.
Jesus!
Yeah, this was a good idea of yours, wasn't it?
Troops in the poppy fields load more mortars. Soon, soldiers charge into the poppy fields. The transporter lands. Corinne leads a large group of refugees along a track through the camp and towards the plane. More of Soong's soldiers run into the poppy fields firing their guns. Corinne and her refugees wait at the edge of the airstrip as the transporter taxis round. Billy runs out of the back of the plane and up to Corinne, who's marching towards him with the refugees.
I knew you guys would make it! If you give me a hand, I think we can get everybody on board!
No, no, we just came back for you! He can't bring these people! He's fully loaded back there!
Well, dump the fucking cargo!
No, that's a big problem!
Billy, I brought all these people here! I'm not leaving without them!
Gene and Bobo watch.
Well, let's get this kid and get out of here! Come on!
Gene runs over to them.
Hey, let's go! Get on the plane!
I'm not leaving without these people!
Hey, we came here to get you! Now get on the fucking plane!
Dump your cargo!
Corinne glares at Gene determinedly. Gene glances at the refugees, then at an explosion which sends flames and smoke sky high.
Jesus. 1 minute.
Gene,
what?
I got a crazy idea.
Let's dump the cargo and take the refugees instead.
Great. Come on, do me a favor.
We better hurry.
You gotta do it. Or you're just another version of Major Lamont with a slightly hipper rap.
He blocks Gene's way.
Knock it off, will ya?
He trips Billy, who falls to the ground. Gene gets into the transporter.
God damn it. Hey, Mother Teresa! I was gonna do it anyway. I just hate being lectured.
He throws a box of munitions at Billy, who catches it and smiles. The three men begin to unload the transporter. They push the goods off the plane roughly.
Slightly hipper wrapped.
More cases of munitions are jettisoned. Soong's troops on foot and on trucks travel along a sunny track. Gene ushers the refugees into the belly of the transporter. Billy climbs into the pilot's seat. As the last of the refugees gets on with Corinne, armed troops begin marching swiftly towards the transporter. Gene takes grenades from a crate. Billy switches controls and pushes levers. Gene tosses grenades, still with their pins in, into the stack of munitions that's been offloaded. He pulls the pin on the last one, runs back towards the moving transporter, then hurls the grenade at the munitions pile. The soldiers retreat. Gene races after the transporter and jumps into the back of it. Barbo, Corinne, and the refugees watch the pile explode. Gene and Barbo share a look, then Jean heads for the cockpit. The plane takes off. Jean arrives in the cockpit and gives Billy a slightly surprised look to see him sitting in his seat. Jean takes Billy's seat.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard Air America, flight number one.
On behalf of our flight
crew. Sandy, my car!
Sandy, we'll turn off those fasten seatbelt signs after we get out of gun range.
Yeah, good dog!
I'd like to apologize for that ground delay, Captain Ryan.
What's that?
Material turbulence.
He's serving some light refreshments and entertainment on Channel 3 by that new group, Gene Ryak and the Redemption, Pops and Rock and Roll.
Currently, our captain is figuring out how to tell his family that he misplaced their nest egg.
Meanwhile, our flight plan today takes us over the Plain of Jars, Anaheim, Azusa, and the Mekong Delta, leading us down into... Where are we going? What are we going to do?
Well, you're going to help me get the cash back I lost when you made me dump off my cargo.
Made you dump your cargo?
Yes.
I didn't make you dump your cargo.
Yes, you
did. I merely suggested do not blame me for the single decent act of your adult life, okay? I mean, besides, we're going to get that kind of money out of your mind.
Down here at Crazy Gene's used airplanes, people think we're out of our minds since we slashed the prices on our used C-123s. You got a private army, you want to get into a battle zone.
Forget it.
Or you want to rent some guns. You find you're hassled by those pesky border guards. Well,
Gene, you can't sell the plane. It's U.S. government property.
The U.S. government doesn't exist in Laos, and neither does this plane.
Good point.
So just sit back, relax, and we'll do what we do best. We fly.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me.
Captions. Major LeMond was indicted during the Iran-Contra investigation. He was pardoned, promoted, and sent to Panama to help Manuel Noriega keep drugs out of America. Rob Deal was called before a Senate committee during the Iran-Contra investigation. He repeated the phrase, "I have no clear memory of that, sir," 115 times. You might even... General Soong got the Holiday Inn of his dreams. He also became a major force in California's savings and loan business. Gene Ryak joined his family in Thailand. He started six businesses, all of which failed. In 1975, he won the Thai State Lottery. Billy Covington went to Thailand and eventually became a computer whiz. In 1976, he was deported for fixing the Thai State Lottery. ITFC audio description.
And don't tell your mama.